This poem, A Carol of Color by poet Mary Dennis, appears in a book by Beacon Press called African American Christmas Stories and Poems. I may not sleep in Bethlehem, your inns would turn me back, because, said Balthazar, unsmiling, my skin is black. And I may not eat in Bethlehem, your inns would frown me down, because, said Melchior, uncomplaining, my skin is brown. Alone I ride to Bethlehem, alone I there alight, because, cried Gaspar, all unheeding, my skin is white. Not one nor two, but three they came to kneel at Bethlehem, and there a brown-faced Christ child laughing welcomed them.
From town to town and city to city, Unitarian Universalist churches have a great deal of variation. Some, like the one in Los Gatos, California, where I was ordained, are all but devoid of pomp and ritual. Others, especially back east, are churchier, some of them very churchy. The Reverend Carl Scovel, now retired, was for 32 years minister of King's Chapel, one of America's most historic churches and churchiest, at the corner of Tremont and School Streets in Boston. And they have a beautiful building that they've continuously occupied since 1685. It's a congregation steeped in tradition, innovations, and this is really true in almost any church, innovations can be problematic. Like many of our older New England churches, King's Chapel has a parsonage, 63 Beacon Street, for use of the minister and family. I once lived in such a parsonage, not there, but also in Massachusetts, along with my then preteen daughter and her stepmom. It's kind of a fishbowl experience for the whole family. Now at 39, my daughter is making a life of her own and a family of her own. But there was a time, not all that long ago, when she was under parental control. Or so we thought. The truth was far more nuanced. As any parent will testify, children, whether born in a manger or a parsonage or a hospital, change one's life completely. So was the case in my life and in the life of Carl Scovel's family, too. For years, Reverend Scovel had a radio ministry on Boston Public Radio. And each homily was 4.5 minutes long. And they were all pretty good, or so I always felt. One Christmas, a few years ago, this was on the radio. I began to think that after many years living together, Carl began, our family has developed a certain sense of equilibrium, a certain ease with one another. At times, of course, differences arise, and occasionally an act of outright rebellion. But as the reigning benevolent despot of King's Chapel Parsonage at 63 Beacon Street, I like to think that, by and large, we get on very well. I don't pretend that all differences are resolved. For example, we have not yet come to complete agreement on just how warm a house should be. I grew up in a house without central heating, and I have always felt that a cool house is a healthy house, impervious to colds and conductive of good blood flow. My daughters do not share this sentiment, and at times become articulate upon the point. Last Christmas, when I refused to turn up the heat high enough to raise a winter's supply of orchids, our younger daughter declaimed, "Behold, a decree went out from Carl Augustus that all the world shall be frozen, and each went to her own room to be frozen. Nonsense, I returned. You're much better off here than if you were living in China or Russia. I don't remember her precise response, but something in her tone of voice suggested that she was not convinced, and my word was not final. That Christmas Eve, we had our traditional services of song and scripture, but I added a small new feature. On the communion table, we placed a creche, terracotta figures of Mary, Joseph, and the child cradled in his mother's arms, shepherds, sheep, and kings as well. We had never had a creche at King's Chapel before, and I wasn't sure how people, all of them very Yankee, would take it. I hoped that the muted colors of these terracotta figures might soften any Puritan objection. We went through the family service at 4:30, Holy Communion at 6, and the big service at 10:30, and I heard nothing but words of appreciation. I was relieved and thought perhaps we'd started a new tradition. I finished greeting the crowd after the late service when our sexton approached me with a worried look and said, "I think you'd better come down to the chancel." "Why, what's the matter, Tom?" I asked. "One of the pieces of the creche has been stolen." "Which one?" I asked. "The Christ child," he answered. "Oh, Lord," I thought, "here we put this out for the first time, and oh." As we walked down the aisle of the church, I couldn't help wondering who would take such a thing, a drunk, a nut, an objector, a prankster. We got to the chancel and looked at the creche, and sure as shooting, the baby was gone. I looked under the table and around the chancel floor, nothing. Then back to the creche, and I saw the edge of a tiny slip of paper protruding from beneath the figure of Mary. I drew the paper out and found the following message printed neatly in pencil. "We've got baby Jesus. Turn up the heat at 63 Beacon Street, and you can have him back for the morning service." The heat went up in the parsonage. The infant reappeared, and everything returned to normal. Well, not quite. The benevolent despot of 63 Beacon Street sits less certainly on his throne. That is probably not surprising. No monarch, indeed no despot, can ever be quite sure of his rule once the child has been born.